saving money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Within football, we have silos.
We talked about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and that week, they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Part of the Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Billy and Todd. Boys,
hello.
Greetings, gentlemen,
and welcome to the official super duper draft preview. You guys have done all your research since we've been gone. It's been 6-7 weeks since our last episode, probably the longest hiatus, not counting season ending, but I've been busy with the wedding coming up, and we'll go with work and yard work, right? Those are good excuses.
Whoa.
But yeah. Are we excited for the draft? We're seeing the stage go up and like the announcement for the former Packers who are going to be announcing picks. Tom Grassi is going to pick one in the sixth round. I don't think he gets to pick it. He gets to announce it, friend of the program, of course. But I'm feeling it a little bit. Do you guys have any remorse or regret for not attending the draft this year?
I wanted to go, and you were like, we shouldn't go. So if you have remorse, that's on you, buddy.
I don't have much. It's more so like, oh, there's kind of cool events like today. Like, but it's more like lame things. It's like, oh, I'd like to talk to the other like podcasters, Packer people who are there. But like the actual draft, I feel like what I see on TV is going to be better than the product in person. But maybe I'm wrong on that.
I saw that like Jordy Nelson is having a fan appearance, I think tomorrow maybe. And as much fun as that would be in theory, I also need to remember I'd need to wait in line like 2 hours for a 20-second interaction with Jordy Nelson. And Jordy Nelson is one of my favorite all-time Packers. And it's just like, I don't like standing in line that long. I don't like hundreds of thousands of people in the same general vicinity as me that much.
All for Jordy.
And then, you know, you see Jordy for 20 seconds, and then you go stand 300 yards away from the draft stage, and you can't really tell what's going on, and where do you go get food and drink and go to the bathroom and whatever. It'd be like standing in Times
Square. Wherever you want.
It'd be like Times Square for New Year's Eve. It just does not appeal to me.
I think parts of it would suck, but I think in general it's like an extended tailgate, and also you're not at work. So
fair point, very fair point. But it, to me, it's like if I'm traveling to Green Bay for a non-game day thing, it's like I'd rather go to training camp, and something that I hope they do in the future is have like, and I think I've talked about this before, but like what the Bucks have with the Deer Garden, is that what they call it? What is it? The Pfizer
Forum? The Deer District.
The Deer District, where fans go and watch the game outside, like if it's an away game or something. Like I would go to Green Bay to watch the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl outside of Lambeau Field. Like, I think that would be awesome. But the whole draft, it's like probably once in a lifetime thing, but I don't know how entertaining the actual event is going to be. And they have like the bike thing lined up. I'm very curious how everything's going to be presented on Thursday.
I thought I saw that they were no longer doing the prospects on the bikes because they couldn't get the logistics to work out.
Not enough bikes.
I think it's more where they're staging the players kind of behind the scenes and then bringing them out to the draft room or the stage rather. I saw a story that talked about like maybe Roger Goodell will ride a bike up onto the stage to open the draft or something.
I would love to see him get booed while riding a child's bike.
Mark Murphy racing each other on the stage. That'd be so cool.
But you brought up the Deer District. Like, why does it feel to me, and maybe this isn't a thing, but why does it feel to me like the NFL has a rule against such an event? Bringing people together to watch, you know, a playoff game for free or something at the team stadium. Like, it just, why is that not a thing? Why don't the Cowboys do it when Dallas plays on the road in the playoffs?
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen the Cowboys have similar events, but I'm like, they have barely made the playoffs in the last decade anyway, so maybe that hasn't happened.
They're always promising, when we make the playoffs, this is what we're going to do. And then,
but yeah, we'll see. I'm still excited for the draft. I'm curious to see how everything's going to be presented on Thursday. I mean, it should be a pretty cool look, I think, because if they... where the stage is set, if they have the camera behind the stage and when they're walking on, like Lambeau Field's literally going to be right in the background there, like that'll be pretty cool. But I guess we'll see how it turns. What time does it start? I shouldn't ask that question. I don't know.
7 Central tomorrow night, 6 Central Friday night.
Okay, and the weather is going to be decent. I was hoping for snow. Snow would have been awesome for the draft because I don't think that would... I don't know what the chances of that happening in the future are.
Friday does not look all that exciting. It looks like rain in the morning, like a high of 50, and then dropping down into like the upper 30s by the evening. Like all these out-of-towners, they're going to be pretty miserable.
I'm curious to see Saturday is going to look like too. Like if there's just people rummaging around, like there's hardly anyone there because even me on...
We should go for Saturday. Just show up.
That would be very prototypical. Poor, like we got a deal on an Airbnb.
I mean,
people left their Airbnb early. They're like, hey, you can just
that's
come.
Probably the time to go. I texted my friend Jen, who is going up from the Madison, Milwaukee area. She's going to be there, I think, the first and second rounds. I texted her about being there when Grassi is announcing the pick, and she's like, oh, I'm not actually going on Saturday. So my bet would be all these people that are coming into Green Bay, even if they don't know it, they're going to figure out there's not a whole hell of a lot else to do in Green Bay. So after about 2 days of standing around at the draft, they will have had enough.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm also looking forward to, or I'm curious to see how they're going to villainize our culture in Wisconsin with like cheese curds and all that shit in the small town USA and all that. But getting into the draft.
Well, they're going to love like walking around. You know, how many reporters are they going to send to walk around in the neighborhood to the north?
Yeah.
Or the south. All the people with folks driving in and parking in their front yard and tailgating for hours.
That's what they're going
to... There's...
It's going to be every cutaway is like, oh, look at these.
Well, I've seen the one video of the person panning like from their garage, and it's just all of a sudden the gigantic stage is just right in front of them, which would be pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
A little late here, you know. Hopefully, you're listening to this on Thursday morning. I'm hoping I haven't talked about this with you guys, but maybe we'll record on Saturday or Sunday and get something out there to review the draft after it's done. But we're just going to go through the roster. We haven't had an episode since free agency either, so we'll just talk about obviously the positions that it looks like we're going to have early interest in and how the roster has had a couple holes filled through free agency. And then of course we got to talk about some stupid drama shit, some things Goody said, Matt LaFleur going on Pardon My Take, wasn't much there. And then, hey, we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. What's he going to do? He's got a dog. Very interesting, huh? Atlas or something?
What kind of dog?
Again?
Didn't he get a dog like 10 years ago?
Not that I remember. No, he's been working out. He's not a husky guy. There was that dog that was in the one of those commercials that had some type of following. With I know that dog is dead. I remember seeing when that dog died. So he won't be.
Wait, he had a fake commercial dog?
Yeah. He had a dog in a commercial.
Okay.
I remember like a slow motion shot of it catching a ball. Maybe I'm just thinking of a prototypical dog.
Maybe. Yeah. But so he has a real dog now and it's a husky.
In Malibu, I'm sure. A husky, there's no poor other dog. Place you want to be. But getting into it, roster breakdown. Couple things to just go over first. Goody and LaFleur have talked a couple times since we've had a podcast. Nothing too crazy. It's always just coach speak. Couple things Goody said this week, though. There's obviously the urgency comment he had at his postseason presser, which has gotten some run. A lot of people think it's directed at the players. I wonder how much of it is coaching as well. Because he said multiple times now, and the big thing that he said on Monday or Tuesday was that right now they can field a competitive team with the roster, which might not always be the case, but I don't remember him making statements like that in the past. So, and looking at it, it does seem like there's holes to fill, but for the most part, depth is pretty good on this team, I would say, because it's like maybe offensive line and corner are the only real spots that need bodies, but everywhere else, I think even if you go to like the third or fourth string guy, you're okay. You know, edge two is maybe more of a question mark. But other than that, I think we're pretty good to go. And we just need to fill in those little spots at the end there. But the picks we have, as of right now, we have 8 picks. Our first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and 2 7th round picks. We're going to just hop right into it. Again, the positions of need or, you know, easiest things to talk about. Starting off, wide receiver. First, one of the things that popped up today, too, and this has to be bullshit, but that the Packers are rumored to be interested in George Pickens, the Steelers wideout. If we trade for George Pickens, I would be flabbergasted. I would be shocked, especially when we dodged a bullet and not trading for Claypool a couple years ago. Like, Pickens is a more talented player, but I can't think of anyone who's, you know, more anti-Packer type than Pickens, who's a bit of a personality, a negative personality, and he doesn't seem to be much of a willing blocker either. So I assume that's bullshit.
That's for sure. I would be same. So shocked if we got George Pickens. Like, that is the least. And like, he is good when he decides to be good. So, I mean, there's that. So I can see why somebody would have the, you know, appeal, like looking at him. But yeah, the Packers, no.
I don't really remember seeing anything about George Pickens actively being on the market or being a trade target before like today. So it just strikes me as an awful lot of smoke and very little fire that all of a sudden the day before the draft, you know, George Pickens is all of a sudden available. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It just feels like it's the media trying to get clicks here, because it's kind of that slow period where everybody's kind of, okay, let's just get to the draft, and they're not interested in anything else.
And no one's moving a player this close to the draft. It's just not happening.
And not like him. He's not going to net a first-round pick or something like that. Like, he'd get, what, for the Steelers, a fourth-rounder, maybe? Like,
yeah, but probably something like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, either way, he's not an asset that people are going to go after, especially on an expiring contract. You know, he came out of the same draft as Christian Watson, both in the second round. So there was that. The other thing that has happened is the Packers signed Mecole Hardman. I wouldn't be shocked if he makes the roster. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets cut beforehand. Speedy guy kind of fills, quote unquote, that role of a fast, you know, outside receiver that can just, you know, take the top off the defense. However, he isn't a good football player, which could create some trouble there if we want to rely on him.
Oh.
He is a return guy too. Yeah.
That gets you.
If he makes the roster, you know, maybe he can help us out that way. But again, it's just all the guys we had last year, and Watson, Dobbs, Watson obviously still recovering from the ACL. Wicks and Reed, and then Malik Heath, Bo Melton, and now Mecole Hardman. So again, like, we could go into the season with this, but it just seems like we need that bona fide another guy in there. You know, I still wish we would have signed Davante Adams. He did sign for more money than I was expecting, but God, I don't know. Still a move I would have made.
I do feel like the Mecole Hardman is like, that's like a good move, costs you nothing, and it's like a Swervin Irvin plus. Like, he can do more in the return game probably, and he still fills that role of like the jet motion, right, and stuff.
Gadget player on offense. If you're expecting him to go and run 15 routes a game, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you can cut him and it doesn't matter.
Right.
So,
and looking at Vegas now too, again, we're going to start with the receivers. Right now, Vegas has the defensive line most likely to be the Packers' first round pick at plus 105. Again, even odds would be like plus 110, so they're pretty confident in that. Corner is plus 155, and then wide out is plus 600. So Vegas still doesn't think we're going to do that. But the first guy to talk about is Tet McMillan, the Arizona wideout, consensus number 11. Again, like, what the, I don't know exactly what consensus means. Like, how many mock drafts and shit are you really bringing in to come up with that number? But either which way, pretty much the most people's number one guy. Some other people have like Matthew Golden as well out of Texas, but McMillan, big guy, 6'4", 219 pounds, most Packer type receiver as far as build and play style, I'd say. You know, he's not super fast, but Matt LaFleur loves the big-bodied guys, guys who can block. McMillan can. The thing with him is his personality issues, we'll say. Justice Mosqueda has reported that the Arizona coaching staff really hasn't talked him up much, which is kind of a sign, and he's also played for multiple schools, too. There was that clip that went a little viral with him saying he doesn't watch film. I think that was his freshman year in college. But Goody did go to his pro day along with John Eric Sullivan, the assistant VP. I forget what his actual title is, but obviously the guy who had multiple GM interviews this offseason. But do you guys see, you know, again, Tet's like the number one guy. We'd probably have to move up to get him. Do you think we make any type of move to move up to draft a wideout like him?
I think there's 0% chance we move up to draft a wideout in the first round. I think if we draft a wideout in the first round, that's surprising enough. Moving up to draft one, I mean, that's, I just think there's no
I think the other part of it that we need to recognize is in years past, we've had maybe a couple of seconds, a couple of thirds, or, you know, multiple day two picks other than just the second and third, right? This year, we only have one pick in each round up until the seventh, so it's not like we have a lot of ammunition to move up and make a splash to go from 23 to 15 unless we want to give up, you know, a second and a third or a second and a fourth, something like that. And I don't think we would be willing to do that because it sounds like where this draft is strong is not at the top, but it's more so in day two, early day three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd like to have more picks in like the second and third round, even if we trade back or whatever. But it is odd. It's been pointed out because it was weird last year at the pre-draft presser when Cooper DeJean was brought up. Goody talked him up. We obviously had the chance to draft him in the first and did not. When they brought up Tet, he talked about, you know, the draft in general and didn't talk about him specifically. So it seems like we might have some interest in him, but he does seem to be, again, the bona fide number one receiver in this draft. He gets a lot of comparison to Mike Evans. Matthew Golden out of Texas, probably the number two receiver this draft. Didn't produce much. I mean, it's a really weird draft. I haven't been as, you know, honed in on this one as I have in years past just because they don't have as many, you know, crazy prospects. Like, even Rome Odunze last year was wide receiver three, and he would far and away be the top guy in this year's draft. Matthew Golden did not produce much in college at all. It wasn't really until the playoffs that he, well, I think it wasn't until the playoffs that he had his first 100-yard game, but really fast, ran a 4.2940 at the combine. There's a lot of smoke that he's going to go to the Cowboys. I think he was already calling Jerry Jones Mr. Jerry, so people think that that might be leading into something. And obviously the wideout, or the Cowboys need a couple wideouts now. Emeka Abuka we'll go with. I think that's close enough. The Ohio State wideout.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, sweet. Nice. Oh, good. Billy nodded. He watches more college football than me. From the receiver college, Ohio State. Mostly played in the slot, but scouts do think he can play outside as well. The thing with him, though, again, not big body. And we're in this weird kind of spot with the roster where we already have Jaden Reed, who basically is never on the field in on like two receiver or heavy sets because he's not a great blocker. And I think it would be tough for the Packers to take another guy like that, especially with Christian Watson being out the first half of the year. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Jaden Higgins is another guy to bring up, kind of the opposite, where he's big-bodied, good at contested catches, good in the red zone, but has a limited route tree, also not very fast, struggled to separate. And people have compared him to another Iowa State, and I'm sure this is just Packer people, but compared to another Iowa State wide receiver in Allen Lazard. So any thoughts on those other receivers? Do you think, you know, if we take one, do you think it's more likely to happen on like the second or third round, or maybe we just wait until later in the draft?
Yeah, I think it's day two or day three. I don't think there's any chance it's day one that we take a wide receiver. I think that would be super out of character for Goody. And like, it's not, I think if it were stacked with like wide receiver talent, I think feel like you see Goody take guys early, like when we like when the first round is stacked with a bunch of talent, you'll see him make a move that he doesn't usually make. But like this one, it's just everybody says that like there's no blue chip players in this draft, and so it's like I could see him trading out and not even making a first round selection. That's kind of where I don't know. That's kind of where I
hope that happens, because nothing would be more Packers than trading back in the.
At your own draft,
like that draft. Would be, I would hope like there would be a roaring applause when it happens, but I'm sure they'd probably like boo or something if that happened. Billy?
I like Abuka. That's one guy that I wouldn't mind if he fell all the way to 23. I wouldn't want to go up to get him. If we can move back to 27, 28 and still get him, 100% on board with that. I like Higgins, too. I think he's faster than Allen Lazard. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen Allen Lazard get open deep.
That Saints game Monday Night Football was the one time
he looked busted coverage. Busted coverage.
And then the turf monster still got him, and I think he ripped his core in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit deeper on the board here, Spencer. The one guy that I like maybe the third round or in the fourth if he falls is Elik Aominor from Stanford.
Okay.
So kind of bigger body like Tet McMillan, little bit faster. Raw as a route runner, but he played on a couple of god-awful Stanford teams, and he was their only threat. And in 2023, he absolutely torched Travis Hunter for like 290 yards receiving. So the ability is there. I mean, get him into an offense where he's not the main guy and can kind of grow into it and has a decent professional quarterback at worst and Jordan Love throwing to him. I think he has some potential.
Can I give you a depth pick?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay, so this is a guy I really like. I watch a little bit of the draft, or not the draft, the combine. And kid from Tennessee.
You're a combine guy.
Deonte Thornton Jr., he's 6'4", 205, and he ran like a 4.3 40. Ras God. This dude, and he, like, super long arms. Like, he's like, let's be honest, he's like MVS, but just like on steroids. So like probably the production probably isn't there, but like this guy's not going day one or day two. He's going day three. So that's my like pick him up in day three depth pick. He's your Christian Watson for when Christian Watson gets hurt.
I wonder if we're ever going to get away from the MVS comparisons. It's going to be 10 years from now because Christian Watson was MVS. I mean, Mecole Hardman has had comparisons to MVS. It's like anyone who can run, it's, and maybe they have other issues. It's like, oh, this is MVS.
I mean, you could compare him to Christian Watson, though. He's big and fast.
Yeah. Todd, do you know how many catches Thornton has in his college career?
I don't. Actually, I do. 26.
26 his senior year. He has 65 catches over 4 years. I mean, diamond in the rough. I can understand the comparison to Christian Watson from a physicality standpoint. Christian Watson at least did it at a college level. This dude had 26 catches his senior year when he's supposed to be at his best. So
I'm just saying, go watch the combine of him running and catching the ball.
I would look like a seventh round pick running around in shorts, okay?
I don't know. This dude's fast. 4.3? Woo! He's cooking.
Moving on to edge. Obviously, right now on top of the roster, Gary, LVN, Kingsley, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby. But again, Packers didn't have a very consistent pass rush all of last year. We were still ranked like 8th in sacks, or at least in the top 10. But we have enough of those big-bodied guys. Maybe we'll look at one of those more bendy pass rushers. First, got to talk about Michael Williams out of Georgia, number 14th overall prospect. He probably won't be there, but we obviously know that Goody likes his Georgia boys. Athletic run defender, kind of a so-so pass rusher, so he would fit right in on this line. Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M, the 16th overall prospect. He's the guy whose name has popped up the most, it seems like, since the draft coverage has really started. Now we're seeing more corners names pop up for in the mock drafts and everything, and usually those are better to go off of. But Shamar Stewart, I mean, he is the prototypical Goody prospect. He did come in on a visit as well. Rascod, it was like 10 or 9.99.
He's literally a 10.
It was tougher to find the RAS scores this year, whatever, on like DuckDuckGo, which I was using. Usually do RAS and the player's name, and it's the first thing to pop up. I had to like keep scrolling to find it, so that was a bit of a pain in the ass. But yeah, wasn't...
Oh, you can just go to their website and just go through them all.
Yeah, well, too late now. Stewart wasn't super productive in college. This past year, he only had 4.5 sacks. Obviously not great. A&M wasn't a great program either. He did also visit with the Rams, who picked before us. And, right, they pick before us? No, maybe they pick after us. Either way, he visited with the Rams and the Rams.
They pick after.
Okay. But he did visit with them, and the Rams usually don't even use their visits. So that's a little eye-opening there. Watching his tape, and I'm huge. I'm so good at watching tape. He kind of does look like Rashawn Gary, the choppy feet, but he is a very sudden player. You know, you're watching and you're like, oh, maybe he's not doing anything. And then all of a sudden he's right on the ball carrier or the quarterback. So impressive that way. A lot of guys, he seems to be, I don't know, Packer blogger guys kind of like him. A lot of fans don't like the prospect of drafting him just because we've had so many of these projects. And Gary, who's obviously in like 2022 or 2021, had that monster year, and he's been kind of middling since. LVN was a project. He's still on the roster, but he obviously hasn't been super productive. So he kind of falls under that same role there, I guess. Mike Green out of Marshall, number 18th prospect. More of a prototypical pass rusher. Led FBS last year in sacks. He's 6'3", 251. Again, kind of a bendy rusher. Did have some character issues. And God, it's like every prospect this year, it's like, you know, at positions that we're looking at, it's like, oh, they tore their ACL. They're injured or allegations of sexual assault. This guy had 2 sexual assault allegations in his time. I think one might have even been in high school, so not ideal there. James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, the 31st overall prospect, another pass rusher type. Very fast, 4.47 40. Was once projected as a top 5 pick, but the thing with him is that the word kind of uses unlikable, like people don't like him in the locker room, like he's kind of an asshole that way. But he is 6'5", 245, which is a little small for an edge rusher. But again, these are just numbers for us.
He'll put on the pounds.
Last guy to talk about on the edge in the first round, Donovan Izuruku, will go with Boston College, number 32. Another bendy pass rusher type. Kind of undersized compared to Chandler Jones, who's had a pretty decent NFL career, but obviously he played under Jeff Hafley in Boston College too. So something to think about, but any of those guys there tickle your fancy?
I like the James Pace Jr. from Tennessee. Like that long, like it kind of breaks the mold for like what we have, where he's more of like a long, lean, explosive, a little bit bendy around the edge. Like I feel like that's a guy, he's different for our defense, where I feel like we have a lot of big, fast, but not necessarily like bendy guys at all. Like he's the opposite of Rashawn Gary, it feels like, although still being big. If he was shorter, it'd be the complete opposite. But I like him. I also, a guy you didn't mention, I like the opposite of Shamar Stewart at A&M. Mm. It's that Nick Scorton, who's like a guy who doesn't have the athletic ability, but still makes it happen. He had pretty good production too in college, I want to say. And just like, almost feels like we just need to do something different with the edge. Like you got LVN, you've got Gary, like Rascods that you're just like, what do we do with them? And like, obviously the coaching hasn't been there. Maybe it's better this year, but like get guys who have stuff in their repertoire already that can like make moves, don't necessarily need to just like burst off the edge. I feel like that's just different.
To me, with this position group, it's weird. Like, I think ideally we would all like somebody that is kind of a plug-and-play. You know, Lucas Van Ness, rather, hasn't really shown a whole lot as a pass rusher. I don't have a lot of confidence in the defense if he's our day-one starter. I mean, ideally, we could pick up a pass rusher and plug-and-play immediately day-one. Unfortunately, this does not look like the draft to do that. Like, it just, like you were, Spencer, or you were saying, Spencer, there's a lot of guys where it's like, yeah, he's got the ability, he had the production, but he has off the field concerns, or but he had an injury, or he's 6'2" and has short arms, he's undersized. So it just, it feels like it's kind of what tickles your fancy, and you take whatever guy you like best and hope that whatever concern there is just happens to work out. It just feels like there's a lot of projects and no sure things once you get below Abdul Carter and maybe Jalen Walker, but even him, I think, is a little bit of a project.
And I'm curious to see how Goody approaches this too, because something that he said last year after we hired Jeff Hafley was how he isn't going to change the way he's looking at prospects. You know, again, he likes the big body edge types. So if we go for one of these more bendy guys, it would show a change in philosophy and maybe bending a little bit to what Hafley wants. Because Goody always just says, you know, he's going for his type of players. If it's wide out or edge players, you know, offensive linemen, they always kind of have a type. This would be showing that. Because again, like we don't have those bendy pass rushers like we've seen in the past. You know, Brenton Cox is the most similar thing to what I'm talking about here. And he did come on fine at the end of last year where he had a lot more pass rush than a lot of other guys. You know, Preston Smith, who was much better than, and like you and me talking, Billy, like KGB, you know, we haven't had a guy like that type of build in forever either. But again, those guys are a little tougher to find as well. I think Goody's just always going for, if you have this build, your floor is just so much higher than if you risk it on someone who maybe isn't as athletic. But I Shamar Stewart, you know, if I had to guess, I feel like that's the guy we're going to draft, but a lot can change. There's been a lot of talk about the corners recently too. Moving on to the defensive line, we did lose, you remember this? We did lose TJ Slayton via free agency. He signed with the Bengals. I forget how long the deal was, but I think it averaged out to like $10 million a year, so good for him. This is also probably the last year of Kenny Clark. Again, and this has been reported to be the deepest position in this draft. Again, we need some depth. We need some, you know, long-term pieces here too. Colby Wooden isn't very good, so I wouldn't be surprised if we take a couple guys here and Wooden's out on the street after this. But talking to the prospects, Derek Harmon, can I read? I think that
Harmon.
Yeah, it looks like a double M, but it is an R. Out of Oregon, 23rd overall prospect. Can play both nose and three tech, was most productive interior pass rusher in college last year, according to Pro Football Focus. wasn't brought in on a visit, but Goody and John Eric Sullivan did go to his pro day. Walter Nolan, the Ole Miss prospect, number 29th overall, 3-tech. If we draft him, Kenny would probably have to move to nose, and people are speculating that'll probably happen anyways just because Kenny wasn't super productive last year playing 3-tech, and Slayton being gone, it's like we need someone in the middle who can just kind of eat up blocks. He has some off-the-field baggage, played at 6 different schools since he started high school after, you know, some people thought of him to potentially be a top 5 pick. So just two guys there that I have listed. Again, this is a deeper position, so if we don't take one in the first, I wouldn't be surprised if we take one or maybe even two on day two if we move around a little bit in this draft.
Yeah, I feel like this is a position that, I just from what I've read, that day two could be a big day for everybody. It's like the defensive line is like so deep, and that feels like something that Goody would definitely do, is like maybe double up, you know, from day two and day three, take a couple defensive linemen, because, man, it feels like, I guess between the entire defensive line, including edge, it feels like at one of those, you got to double up here, because it's just a weakness. And like that defense played so well with what felt like underperforming players on the defensive line. It's like if you put guys in there that can put pressure on the quarterback, Grant, we were good in the run game, so I shouldn't take away from that. Slayton was a part of that too. So, but like, if you can put pressure on the quarterback with this defense next year, like it is completely transformed. Like that's an impressive defense. So I don't know. Feels like a double dip either at defensive line or edge coming.
This feels to me like the quintessential Goody move in the first round, like the non-sexy, everybody gets excited about a wide receiver or running back or an edge rusher, whatever. But this feels like the kind of move Goody would make, going 23 in the first round, picking some big run stuffer out of Michigan or Oregon, whether it's Harmon or Grant or Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. Like one of those guys, they're not super sexy. They're not going to come in and have 8 sacks, but they're going to help solidify that defensive line with the loss of TJ Slayton. Are they going to help free up Kenny Clark to maybe have a little bit more production? I think there is that possibility. I don't know that any of them are going to come in and be that pass rusher to help push the pocket, but Kenny Clark has shown that he can do that in the past, so I think he could do it, you know, maybe one more time here.
And either way, what's going to probably make or break this position, along with edge this year, is DeMarcus Covington, who is the new defensive line coach. He did spend his first 9 or 8 years in the league coaching with the Patriots. He did first with just the edge. He was the edge coach, and then he was the defensive line coach most recently. And the Patriots have had a pretty solid defense and defensive line in those years, so hopefully he'll be better than, God, I already forgot the guy's name, big old dude with the beard, Jason Ribovich. So that'll be big, not just for whoever we bring in, but seeing if he can get anything out of LVN as well. Corner. First thing to talk about is Jair. You know, he's still in the intro. I'm putting that off until I really have to. It seems like he's going to get traded. Obviously, that's kind of been the talk all offseason. It kind of went up and down a little bit, where maybe it went from a 0% chance to a 2% chance that he was going to stick on. But the way Goody talked about him, it sounds like he's talking about a guy who's not going to be on the roster, saying how much they've invested in him and how, you know, they'd like to find something that works for both him and the team and the player. So we'll see. I would think he's going to get traded sometime over the draft. And if not, then we're probably going to cut him unless someone goes through the entire draft and they somehow don't draft a corner and they want him. But I still think, I mean, I'd rather keep him, but it seems like that bridge has kind of been burned. Either way, I don't know. We'll see. He did reach out to who's the corner we signed?
Nate Hobbs.
Yeah, Nate Hobbs, after he signed with the Packers too. So he's still invested. He was working out with X too. There was video of that. So I don't know. It'll be a bummer when he leaves, but it seems like that is pretty much a guarantee at this point. And I mean, Nate Hobbs, we might as well just talk about him, the slot corner that we signed at the beginning of free agency. He's played mostly slot in the league with the Raiders, but it's been reported that he's going to start out training camp outside. We'll see if that holds true. But, you know, in the brief tape that I watched of him, highlights and shit, it's like he does seem to be a willing tackler. He does, like, he's got that dog in him too, which, you know, Halfley likes, and something that we need on the outside, which is something that Jair, since his shoulder injury, really hasn't showed. So I like that signing. I liked that signing more than Banks, but, you know, leaves us with Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Kalen King, with both Corey Ballantyne and Robert Rochelle leaving in free agency, which isn't a huge loss, but I did like having those guys on the back end of the roster who, when they had to play, they weren't complete liabilities. So again, this, not a ton of depth here, so I wouldn't be shocked if we use some picks. But either way, what do you guys think of the corner room going into the draft?
I think that's the other place where if we're going to take somebody high, it's corner. If Hobbs is going to play on the outside, you know, we're paying Keyshawn Nixon, and he's made it clear he doesn't want to be strictly a return man anymore. He wants to play more on defense. Like, I think that, to me, locks him up in that slot corner position. So who will play opposite Hobbs? I think there's the opening in the draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if we take somebody high in the draft, whether it's first or second round, to go opposite Hobbs and start day one.
Yeah, I think it does feel like you really have to do something, whether it's through a trade, picking up another player. You know, if you're trading Jair, if you can get a corner that's a starting caliber corner, great. But it does feel like, too, there's a couple guys up there that maybe could fall to us, that it seems like that Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky almost feels like a, you know, not quite as twitchy as like Jair, but like a Jair type player, smaller, physical, you know, can move really well laterally, and ran like, I think he ran like a sub 4.3. So like guys like that, that you like, okay, that can like fit a role, because Hobbs is pretty big, right? If he's outside, you've kind of got your bigger corner matched with your smaller, twitchier corner that can be on the outside. I don't know. It does feel like, I agree that that could be a position where like you do see Goody go first round if somebody's available. That does definitely seem like it could happen.
It was one of those things too where you always look at the comments when you sign someone or what the old fan base says about a player.
Oh, yeah.
And with Hobbs, it was, oh, I really wanted him back, and oh, that's fine, he was hurt a lot. So we'll see what happens there. Our training staff was a little bit better last year with the injuries, but probably outside of corner because Jair was obviously hurt all year. But the prospects, you mentioned a couple there too, Todd. But first one to talk about, Will Johnson out of Michigan, number 12 overall. He was once thought to be a top 5 pick. I feel like there's multiple people in this first round. Everyone, it's just, after the top like 5, it really just can be anything with this draft class. But thought he was going to be a top 5 pick, had turf toe the back half of last year, missed the back half of the season, also had a bad hamstring, which would make him a perfect Packer, didn't run a 40, so that's one of the reasons why he's falling on these draft boards as well. But really fun tape. I mean, watch his highlights, a lot of pick sixes. He seems to run routes for wide receivers, isn't afraid to get in on the run game either. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's a guy, like if he had to move up for a corner, like if he move up in this draft, I think it would either be for Will Johnson or Tet, but I think we'd have to just move too much to actually take Tet. Jahdae Barron out of Texas, we'll just say that's the right way to say his name, played both inside and outside while playing his 5 years in college, ran a 4.39 40, which is, and he's fine to play outside, but he is 5'11", which is a little, you know, not super long for a corner either which way. Maxwell Harrison, who you mentioned, Todd, out of Kentucky, 35th overall prospect, fastest player at the combine, ran a 4.28 40. He's had injury issues too. I've seen comparisons to like Demaryius Randall and Kevin King, and they're like, oh, he's a guy who didn't play at like a huge school and has injury concerns. He'll fit right in too. So I don't know. Maybe that'll happen. Siobhan Revelle out of East Carolina, 38th overall, tore his ACL last year and was thought to be a top 20 pick. very athletic. His RAS, even without all the testing, was a 9.72. He did take a visit to Green Bay. There's also Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, number 39 overall. Started college as a quarterback, was behind Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry at Alabama before last season, and he only started for 2 years out of his 5 years in college, but another guy who has really great ball skills. I mean, Todd, you said that you like Maxwell, but do you like Will Johnson too? Or are you kind of fine with any of these?
Yeah,
corners?
I just don't feel like he'll... I just don't know if Will Johnson's going to be there. And I don't see us trading up in this draft. So that's more of like why I didn't even really... I mean, I do think, like you said, his tape is fun. Like, he's fun to watch and all those highlights and stuff. A guy I really want to like, but I just, like, can't, is that kid from Iowa State, that corner from Iowa State, who's a converted wideout. Mm. They converted a wideout to a corner. Darian Porter is his name. Another RAS god. I think he's a 9.99 RAS player. But he's like a guy, I'm like, oh, this could be like another sticky, but Sam Shields. But like, there's a lot of negatives, and they're all like, the positives are his physicality, the negatives are his play. And so it's like, I'm like, we don't need any more projects that we need to coach up. I would say the coaching staff might be a little bit of one of our weaknesses as a team. So like, maybe not necessarily in the back end, but like, yeah, what, like, terrible tackler was like one of the things that they basically said. I'm like, yeah, this defense especially doesn't need a terrible tackler. Like, we've kind of got a little bit of a hard nose thing going on. We don't need to ruin that on the outside. So
I was going to say, Todd, he's like 6'3" almost, damn near, which for an outside corner is gigantic
in this league. Yeah, he's 6'3", 195 he's listed at.
Super long. Like, if he puts it together, he'd be a great player, but because he only really played that 1 year at corner, he's just super raw. And
yeah,
the measurables say, you know, round three, but boy, that feels awfully rich for my blood. Spencer, I was going to ask you, what's the sense, like, what could we reasonably get for Jair? Like a fourth?
So Tom...
A fifth?
Tom Silverstein reported a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, that there was an offer or offers on the table, but it doesn't sound like we'd get more than a sixth or seventh round pick just because Jair's contract is still $17 million per year, and that might be his base salary. I think we do have to pay something to him too, but anything we would get out of Jair would be a bonus if we trade him.
Okay. My initial thought was, can we package Jair and another pick to move up and get an extra second round pick? But it seems like the market for Jair is maybe lower than I think. And I think I'm with you, Spencer. Like, I feel like I would much rather keep him at that point. But if the relationship is that far gone, then there's not a whole lot we can do. So I'm hopeful that we take a corner rather somewhat high, day one, day two for sure. I do like the Hairston kid. Johnson is interesting to me. He played a lot of zone at Michigan, which gives me some pause now that we're a little bit more heavy man. But based on the scouting report I'm reading on The Athletic, it sounds like he is comfortable in man too. So, you know, maybe he falls, because it feels like this draft is just a crapshoot kind of after the top five picks. And there might be a guy, like I was saying, I think in our last podcast, there might be a guy that everybody thinks is going to be long gone in the top 15. And then the board just falls weird. And here he is falling into our laps at 23.
Yeah, we'll see. And yeah, Will Johnson, I mean, just very, very smooth player too. You're watching him, it's like, he's just gliding on the field. So that's kind of the guy who I hope we take. Again, I don't think corner like is a super sexy pick to draft, but it's like, we don't really have that stud in the corner room right now either, and I think that's probably what Goody's looking for.
And Johnson, I guess the reason I think he could fall is because he does have some of those injury concerns, and he also didn't run the 40. And so if teams are maybe not so sold on his medicals, and then, you know, if the dude runs a 4.3, then he's played himself into the top 15 for sure. But if not running the 40 and coming off an injury gives teams enough of a pause to maybe pass on him, that might be enough for him to fall to us, or at least within striking range that we could move up a few slots and get him.
Moving on to the positions that probably aren't going to happen day one or two. O-line, running back, inside linebacker, safety, quarterback. I guess I wouldn't be shocked with Goody if he went with an offensive lineman any of those days. But Packers did, like we mentioned, sign Aaron Banks, the former 49er guard. Four-year deal. He is now the fifth highest paid guard in the league. A little surprising when that popped up. I almost would have rather just taken a veteran center and then not have to move guys around. But Goody also said that Elton is going to be the starting center. So we'll see what happens there. Banks did play through a lot of injuries last year. His like Pro Football Focus grade was worse than Walker's was for us at tackle. So it's just one of those things where you him and ha, but we do have a pretty good offensive line coach. And just we've always been able to create offensive linemen out of people. And someone who's already been a decent player would be nice. And I mean, God, he's just a gigantic human being too. So it seems like... Yeah. Fans and even reporters were higher on the offensive line last year than they were inside the building. There's been some talk, like Rob Domofsky talked about it, and I think Wilde did too, how Rob is going to write this piece about how good the offensive line was playing. And he went to Matt LaFleur privately to like talk to him to get some quotes. And Matt was like, well, why are you writing a story on that? Which is kind of like, that's kind of a weird response to trying to talk up guys on your team. So obviously, Josh Myers going to the Jets, that was pretty surprising too, to see how little he got paid. I want to say it was like 1 year, $3 million. Like, I thought maybe
that sounds right.
I thought maybe we'd get like a decent comp pick, like mid or late round, but that's going to be pretty, I don't know if we'll even get anything for that. But I mean, either way, right now the line looks like Walker or Morgan at left tackle, Banks at left guard, Elton at center, Sean Ryan or Morgan at right guard, and then Zach Tom at right tackle. I don't think Jordan Morgan was a bad pick. I still think he can be a good player. He was just so beat up last year, and he was still competing and, you know, switching off with Sean Ryan in season, where I think they're going to want to have him be the swing tackle and the swing guard come the regular season, because Sean Ryan just doesn't have that versatility, and you're not going to be moving Banks to tackle or anything like that. So unless he totally blows the doors off in training camp and beats out Sean Ryan, and I don't think he'd beat out Walker, because if he beats out Walker, Walker might even just ask for a trade, because he's in the last year of his contract too, and he can't really play anything outside of that. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there. They only got to talk about in the first round for the Packers at that position. Who's been mentioned is Josh Simmons, the tackle out of Ohio State. He did come in on a visit. Again, he's a tackle, but like everyone else in this draft, he is injured. He tore his patella tendon last season, so he probably came in on a medical for that, and the Packers wanted to take a look. But offensive line, again, I think we're going to probably take a few of these guys late just because the depth isn't what it used to be on the line. You know, Telford didn't come in and play all that well last year. I forgot who the other tackle was who came in who wasn't very good. But either way, not super worried about this position, but I wouldn't be shocked if we take an offensive lineman. I don't know. Do you guys have anything? I don't know how much we have to talk about the offensive line.
I'm just waiting for us to take an offensive lineman in the first round.
That would suck.
And just, have everybody just be like, oh, fuck. You know, it'd be that. But there is a couple guys at the top that are kind of interesting, even interior guys that are kind of fun. There's that kid from NDSU that's supposed to be really good. It's like Gray Zabel or something like
Gray
that is his
Zabel,
name.
Yeah, which is a fantastic offensive lineman.
It is. And there's that the kid from a lot of people have been saying he's a little bit raw, but that kid from Alabama, that center from Alabama is like has everything to be like the next best center, which is like, you don't feel bad about that. If you get that guy and in 5 years, you're like, this is the best center in the league, and he stays that way for 5 years, then you're like, okay, great pick. It felt bad at the time, which is how I feel about, like, I'm always okay with these offensive line picks early, because I'm like, if we hit, it's so fun, because then you're just like, I don't know. But hopefully that doesn't happen. We have many more needs. We can make that offensive line work, but anyways.
I just think that if we're going to go offensive line, I think we do need to go get a couple offensive linemen. It feels like maybe the earliest is maybe the third round. In my opinion, and I'm no NFL GM, it feels like corner is a bigger need. I would argue wide receiver is a bigger need. Edge rusher is a bigger need. Once you start to get into the third round, it's really about where the board is and where the depth is, where you can get guys later on. I just remember that Eagles playoff game where, I mean, Jordan Morgan was already out for the year, and then was it Rashid Walker got hurt, and we put in Travis Glover, and he was an unmitigated disaster for a series. And then we put in Kadeem Telfort, and he was just slightly less of an unmitigated disaster. Like, it, I remember going into the year, like, we thought that the depth was going to be pretty good. I remember we were all pretty high on Jacob Monk from Duke as a swing guard center, and he didn't really play, and he wasn't really that great when he did play. And now it's like, who do we even have on the bench that we feel good about other than Morgan? And I don't even know if we feel good about him. So it feels like, knowing our ability historically to draft and develop offensive linemen, I don't think we need to go get one day one or two, but I definitely think we're going to need multiple bites at the apple to help backfill that entire group.
Right, and even just looking at the team right now, or the offensive line right now, it's Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, all guys who are, what, third-round picks or later. Ryan might have been he was a third-round pick, but Tom was a fourth rounder, Walker was a seventh rounder. So it's like, we can still find guys who can plug in after they're coached up a little bit. But I don't know. I'm just curious to see what happens there. And God, I wouldn't think we'd take a center. That would be interesting if we did take like a top center and then we had to do something else with Elton. Moving on, running back. Not much to talk about here, but it is an interesting position. You know, obviously Josh Jacobs up top, Marshawn Lloyd, who was hurt all of last year, and then we have Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. And it's a weird spot because it's a deep running back class. Last year was a really bad running back class. This is a pretty solid one by all accounts. But it's like, if we draft a running back, he'd probably be on the 53, and your 53 guys would be Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and the draft pick. I don't think we'd carry four. We very rarely do. But then it's Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks, and none of those top three guys are all that great at pass blocking. So I wonder if we did take a guy that we liked and then we try to stash Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks on the practice squad and do what we've done in like 2023, where we just use those game day roster promotions on them until the running backs get, you know, their feet underneath them, or maybe one of them gets hurt and then one of those guys move up from the practice squad. But I'm going around the big, you know, story from this position this offseason. A.J. Dillon signing with the Eagles. He's gone. Ding dong. The witch is dead. He got a vet minimum deal. You know, he was saying it,
which is too much in my opinion.
He said he had all this interest from other teams too. Vet minimum deal, $1.3 million. For comparison, and I thought this was nuts, so Eric Wilson signed with the Vikings. He signed with the Vikings for $2.6 million. I think Eric Wilson was a free agent this time last year, and he's 30 or 31 years old. One, I don't know why the Vikings paid him that much, but he's literally getting paid twice as much as A.J. Dillon, who I wouldn't be shocked if Dillon doesn't even make the roster. There's so many running backs in this draft class. If the Eagles take one, and then they got Saquon, Will Shipley, who they drafted last year, and then another draft pick, I mean, A.J. Dillon might get cut and out of the league. And I just think of how smart I am, how 2 years ago I was like, you know, I think Emmanuel Wilson, Patrick Taylor, and Tyler Goodson are all better running backs than A.J. Dillon. And hey, I might have been right, but either way, nice to see him gone. I think we'll probably still keep him in the outro because I just dislike him so much. And of course, he's found a new home in Philly, and he's talking it up like it's just as good as Green Bay, whatever. But Running back, have you guys watched any of these running backs in this draft class? I've kind of stayed away from it. I'm more so looking at who, if we have any interest in anyone, but we didn't bring any running backs in for visits during this process either.
My only thing with a running back would be like, give me, if you were to pick a running back, give me a guy that can block really well. Like, I feel like that's what that room is missing. Hey, someone that can block. Right. Just give me that. That's all we need. Although, there's no room for anybody else. I mean, and literally.
I don't know that such a back exists in college football anymore. Like, there's, I mean, not
there's
a lot
of
teams.
There's that kid from Iowa.
Yeah, ugh. But
he's supposed to be, like, the best blocker.
Projected to go in the second round. I was going to say, there's not a lot of teams other than Iowa that run a, you know, power eye, keep your back in and pass protect. Like, it's a lot of kind of shotgun, run and shoot, read option kind of thing where you try to get your running back out in space. So other than Johnson, I don't know that that back exists. So I guess where I was going to go with it is, I don't think I would be comfortable cutting Emmanuel Wilson and getting him to the practice squad. I thought he looked really good last year. He had 500 yards rushing, averaged almost 5 yards a carry for us, albeit in a limited role, but I think he showed that he can be an effective number two back. So I just don't think we would be able to get him to the practice squad if we really wanted to draft a running back that high. So for that reason, I think this room is set, and we bring in an undrafted free agent to compete with Chris Brooks, and maybe Marshawn Lloyd isn't quite healthy or quite the same guy we thought he was because of his injuries last year.
Yeah, we'll see. Because Brooks and Wilson are both good pass blockers. You know, Brooks even he took over Emmanuel Wilson's role late last season. I think Wilson might have even been a healthy scratch a couple times. So we do have options there, but I don't know. We'll see. If in the fourth round we take a running back, I will get excited about it because he's probably going to have some pretty good tape, and then I'll just lie to myself about everything else.
All right, I looked it up. LaQuint Allen out of Syracuse is one of the best, and he's like on this board, he's at like 200 ranked. So, LaQuint Allen out of Syracuse, maybe your next Packer blocker.
I hope we draft him now. That'd be pretty funny. Inside linebacker, we re-signed Isaiah McDuffie and signed Christian Welch. Pretty cool to see him come back. A Wisconsin native. We talked about him last year. He's from whatever tiny town.
Iola.
That's right. So that was pretty cool to see him come back. We did bring in Isaiah Simmons, the former 8th overall pick, just for a visit. We didn't sign him. He's still unsigned. But with McDuffie coming back, I mean, Eric Wilson obviously leaving, Welch coming back, talking to Simmons, man, it makes you feel weird about Tyron Hopper, the third-round pick last year, who didn't see the field much at all, a little bit on special teams, but if we don't hear anything about him this year, I'm going to assume he was a mistake.
But do you remember he had, what was it, like the last couple plays, was it the Eagles game he came in
at the end of the year?
And like I think so. And he just blitzed every time, I'm pretty sure. And he had like a tackle or two.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I could be
never
wrong.
Mind. Yeah, he sounds great. I'm glad.
Well, he just didn't get any opportunities. I mean, when you're behind the Quaymaker, and do we have a cool name for Edger and Cooper?
Coop.
Edge. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We got a lot of offseason to figure that one out.
Those are really good. Edge, Coop. The other interesting thing to talk about here, and this is where I'm hemming and hawing, because just the roster construction that Goody has done has been overall pretty good, but it also has been like a bit of a decline where now we're at a spot where we're talking about the fifth year options for both Quay and Devonta Wyatt. And Justice Mosqueda talked about this, how if you're keeping those guys around, they're making like $20 million per year. And they're two guys that we don't really feel all that confident in. But Goody did say that they're both going to get contracts, if not the fifth-year option. They're going to get some other type of deal. Like, for instance, Quay, he's a linebacker. And the way that the league looks at it is if you give him that fifth-year option, it's all linebackers. So it would include edge players. so they won't so they won't pick up his fifth year option. They're probably working through a contract right now. I assume they're.
How is that the way that it works? They include edge with inside linebackers, off ball linebackers. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I don't get it because they're completely they're different linebackers. Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me either. And then Wyatt will probably pick up his fifth year option. It's just kind of an odd spot where we're, you know, the cap's always going up, but I don't know if those are really ascending players. I'd like to see Wyatt healthy a full year. Quaid did seem to turn it around in the back half of last year, but it's just kind of an odd, it's not as bad as like picking up the fifth year option on Darnell Savage, but it just doesn't, you know, when that news comes across that they're signed, I'm not going to feel great about it. And Goody hasn't really had the best history of giving current players new contracts. Pretty much all of them have been bad, right? Maybe outside of Keyshawn Nixon, who's played up to that you know, slot corner contract that he got.
The best comparison I guess I would have in this situation, and I don't even know if it's that good of a comparison, is when we re-signed Jordan Love to that two-year deal.
That's the perfect comparison.
Rather than his, you know, fifth year option. Like, it's going to depend on the money. If we extend Devontae Wyatt and we pay him like a top 10 defensive tackle on this two-year extension, no thank you. If we pay him like a top 20, I guess I could get on board with that. But it's kind of that weird situation where there was a lot expected out of these guys and neither of them have been very impressive at all in their 4 years, or their 3 years rather, so far. So how do you find that price point for a short-term extension that they're willing to accept, thinking that, you know, if they finally put it together and have a big year, they want to be in line for a big payday. So I don't envy Goody on those type of decisions at all.
Yeah, I'd give Wyatt the fifth year option, kick the can down the road for making a real, you know, more lucrative decision. And then Quay, that might be a little bit more sticky to figure out what type of deal you're going to give them. I mean, moving on, safety, tight end, quarterback, not much to talk about here. Safety, we're pretty fucking deep at safety, it feels like. Tight end, sounding more and more like tight ends are going to be more involved. LaFleur said it at the meetings, which he's always going to talk up, guys. But Tucker Kraft, too, talked about two tight end sets when he was out on the tailgate tour. So something to monitor. I'm curious how that's going to go into the season. We've kind of been asking for that. And Musgrave was once again hurt last year. So I don't know. We'll see.
Big pickleball guy, too.
Oh, that's right. Big pickleball guy. He said he'll play and beat anyone, even if they're children or the elderly. Quarterback, wouldn't be shocked if we use a mid-round pick on someone. You know, we have, Malik Willis, who was obviously great last year, but he is in the last year of his deal. So maybe you want to have someone ready to step in behind him. Sean Clifford is just a practice squad quarterback. I would feel terrible if he actually was on the 53, but he'll probably be on the practice squad this year, barring, you know, drafting someone again. But fucking what's his name, who's with Tampa now, the seventh round quarterback last year.
Michael Pratt.
Yeah, Pratt. You know, that was kind of, well, it was a wasted draft pick, so not super concerned or not looking into quarterbacks in this year's class.
I mean, I don't know that I would call it a wasted draft pick. Yeah, I mean, I would. If we keep him over Sean Clifford, he's still on the roster. It's because we thought that we could sneak him to the practice squad that it didn't work out.
It sounded, when it happened, it sounded like the Packers didn't want him back. I remember that when it happened.
Okay, fair.
I guess we won't talk about that yet. Well, no, we will actually. So that's any other draft prospects or anyone you want to talk about? I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. I think it's been over an hour.
Is there anybody that you guys like, not if you throw out all the needs and like how the Packers are actually going to draft, but like, is there anybody that you're like, ooh, that's a fun pick? Like, is there anybody that you look at it and you're like, oh, that guy looks, other than like, everybody would probably say like Travis Hunter.
Yeah. Just because, I was going to say like Ashton, you know, Gentry or whatever, the Boise State running back.
That's a fun
like,
one. Yeah, he's
that'd
fun.
Be very fun. There's a lot of rumors that if he's there at 10, the Bears might take him. Who knows? That would be kind of, I don't know. He seems like a, he's one of the few like blue chip kind of players, but he's also a running back and giving Ben Johnson a bunch of weapons.
A lot of miles on those legs too.
Yeah, well, I guess that's something to think about too. But yeah, I'm totally not blown
away. Todd, who's your Joe Milton this year?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. He's for big arm guys, it's Jalen Milrow.
Yeah.
Milrow? Yeah. I mean, he's... So it's, like, not as fun when they're, like, near the top of the draft board. It's, not like, not as fun to have, like, a big arm guy. But a guy that I, like... If I were to, like, just be able to, like, pick one fun player, I would pick that that tight end from Michigan who's kind of, like, a... He's kind of, like, a get-up-the-field vertical... He's kind of, like, what Luke Musgrave... Like what we kind of thought he was going to be.
He still could
like
be.
Colston Loveland.
Is that,
ooh,
yeah,
what
Colston
a name.
Loveland. Yeah, cool name. Like, never drops the ball. Like,
wow.
He's got a really low drop rate, apparently. And, like, he can block a little bit. I don't know. The comparison was Greg Olsen, which you got to love that, right?
Who, and Loveland is a projected first-round pick. And actually, one of the thoughts that I've come around on going into the draft every year is I don't think I care who the top rated tight end is. I don't want anything to do with him in the first round.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, you look at Kyle Pitts, what he was supposed to be, what Vernon Davis was supposed to
Vernon
be.
Vernon Davis
the number,
was okay.
But for the number 5 overall pick, I don't think so. Like,
Vernon
I
Davis
just,
was really good. He was a diva and a half, but he was really good.
I don't think he was worth the 5th overall pick in the draft. But then you look at the best tight ends in the league at any one time. Mark Andrews was like a 5th round pick. Travis Kelce was a 3rd round pick. George Kittle was a 5th round pick, something like that. Like, I don't understand the appeal of drafting a tight end high in the first round that. So if the Bears want to go draft Tyler Warren, number 10, by all means, Chicago, be my guest.
It's a really weird spot, too, because I have felt the same way. Because, you know, it was Kyle Pitts, it was Noah Fant, it was Pettigrew back in the day, too. But then, you know, I agree, like, tight end, not a super sexy position either. Either way, usually they take a little longer to develop. We obviously got Tucker Kraft in the 3rd. But then you look...
And I guess the other point is, if you're drafting that high, you have far bigger needs to fill than a tight end.
Sure, but then it's also, you look at the most recent history, and Brock Bowers and Laporta were both really, really good picks, too. So it's kind of, it's tough, I agree, but the risk-reward there is, you know, tough to really manage.
Laporta was also a 2nd-round pick, and everybody at the time thought he was a reach by Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know if people thought he was a reach. I don't know if that's true. Either. Okay. We were talking about quarterbacks. A couple of things before we send off for this episode. Tom Silverstein wrote a piece. He watched Jordan Love college tape with Goody, which was pretty neat. I didn't read the piece, but I listened to him talk about it on the Packers News podcast, and it was very interesting. One thing that was interesting is he was in the new draft room and film room, and he described that because, you know, we used our money to become owners, and we still haven't seen what any of the shit looks like, which is a little fucking ridiculous. But a couple things that were interesting. One is Goody kept describing Jordan Love as loose, how loose he looked in college because of how long his arm is and how big his hand is.
Silly body.
Of course, which I had written down to is, so Goody loose is us, silly body, the wiggly boy out there playing quarterback. And another thing that he talked about, which was also one of the reasons why we drafted Josiah DeGuara, he had a similar play, but Goody talked about how one play, Jordan Love threw a pick, he got hurt, like he got hit while he was throwing it. He was laying on the ground for a bit, but the guy started returning it. Jordan Love got up, chased the guy down, and forced a fumble. And they said that was a huge character positive that they had while they were going through the process. The other big thing to come out of it was, you know, this was the 2020 draft during COVID and stuff. And there's been these rumors out there, and I'd kind of always pushed them aside, like, you know, usually the draft is a little, you know, when you're watching, they're a little bit of ahead of or behind of what's actually going on. But it sounds like the Packers legit did move up to pick, and then the Niners leapfrogged in front of them. And it was probably a little bit because of COVID, everyone was isolated. There weren't like draft rooms going on, that maybe there was some pause in communication going on. But the what it sounds like is that the Packers initially moved up to draft Brandon Ayuk, and then the Niners obviously drafted Brandon Ayuk. And the quote that Tom had, and there might have been something else in his story, but he said, so they weren't 100% sure they were going to take Love. They really like a couple of those receivers. The Niners moved in front of them to take Ayuk. With the receivers they wanted gone, they took Love. They may have taken Love anyways. But the way that he's leaving that gray area there, it's just, again, one of those things which is just so fun following the Green Bay Packers, because there's so many what-ifs in our recent history. But what if we had drafted Brandon Ayuk, didn't draft Jordan Love, and then what happens in 2020, 2021, and 2022 with him on the roster? And maybe it was closer than we think. It's just crazy to hear that that's actually what probably happened.
Maybe a couple of rings. Who knows?
I would almost guarantee it. The other thing,
And then where would this team be now? I mean, we talked right at the open that
we'd still have Rodgers.
This is one of the deeper teams, you know, just as starters, right, in the league. And so if Rodgers is retired at this point, or maybe Rodgers is still our quarterback, like, how do we feel going into this draft going, we don't have our quarterback of the future? Now what?
It's a big year for Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. I'm very curious to see what happens, because if Jordan Love comes out and stinks it up, and, you know, he was hurt last year and he played fine, but maybe there is going to be some revisionist history for what if we just stayed with Rodgers, because this is going to be his third year not being in Green Bay, and it seems like he's going to play whenever he makes up his mind, apparently, once again, but he's already said he's going to play. It's just kind of an odd spot, Todd.
Well, we for sure would have drafted Jaden Daniels, and he actually would have sat this last year. And so, like, we'd be in really good shape.
For sure. Yeah, we definitely would have.
We just wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know.
We would have had a top five pick for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But
we would have traded up.
Yes, yes. It's still revisionist history, too, as how close we were to drafting Drew Locke instead of Rashawn Gary.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Again, Wildy said there were messages going on within the building saying they're taking Drew Locke, which is just where would we be now if that happened?
Thank God it didn't.
Another very, very important subject to talk about. Matt LaFleur was on Pardon My Take this week. I haven't listened to Pardon My Take much anymore. When it first came out, I was listening to just about every episode, but it's been years now since I've been a consistent listener. But Matt LaFleur was on. First thing that came out, the one thing that he said is he promised that he does not know if the Packers are playing in Dublin, Ireland this year. And when they were talking about it, he said, you know, they're probably waiting on Aaron Rodgers. He said, I'm sure they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. If he goes to Pittsburgh, then I'm sure we're going to play there. And so it was funny. He didn't say it super jokingly either. Like, there was no like, oh, I still love Aaron. It was like, you can tell there's some, they're not buddies, which was interesting.
No.
But the more important thing was Matt LaFleur doesn't know who the Rizzler is. Do you guys know who the Rizzler is?
Unfortunately.
I love the Rizzler.
Yes.
I
Spencer loves the Rizzler. It's...
There's so many internet things that I should hate, and the Costco guys I should hate, but it's just for whatever reason, they are the best. And Matt LaFleur did not know who the Rizzler is. Big Justice doesn't know who he is. He does know who Baby Gronk is, which is, I don't know, something. But
well, to be fair, if you're grouping like the Costco guys, and obviously the Rizzler is now like a part. The Rizzler is the only redeeming part of the Costco guys. Like, he's the only one that's likable, in my opinion.
Big Justice is fine. I mean, he seems to like being on camera. It doesn't seem like the dad's forcing them to do stuff, which I can respect. Maybe, you know, there'll be a documentary 5 years from now. And
yeah, that's coming. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely at least verbally abusive.
Billy, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts on this. Let them out.
Can you explain for Matt LaFleur and definitely not me who the hell you're talking about?
The Rizzler is his birthday is actually 420. It was just his birthday. I saw that on Twitter too. I
think
he's 13, 14 years old, but he's just a chubby little boy who says things that are funny. He does this thing with his face. The Rizzler
face.
Have
you ever seen...
Is he on YouTube or
I think he's
TikTok
or more of a TikTok,
Snapchat or...
Instagram kind of deal.
Billy, have you ever watched like the Little League World Series where they have like the little kid who's like hit dingers?
Yeah.
He's got like that vibe a little bit. Maybe not such a deep voice, but
so why are they asking Matt LaFleur about him?
Because part of my take is a funny sports program and they're online all the time. So I don't know how it came up. Well, it was kind of brought.
They're kind of silly. They're silly
like
us.
Yeah, they're silly boys. It might have transitioned from the talk of Mike Leach. I think it was Mike Leach, who apparently said back in the day that they had like talks about signing a little person for goal line packages,
and throwing him,
giving him the ball, and throwing him in the end zone, and then they talk
which
about
wouldn't
that
have been
Rizzler.
Illegal,
right? Yeah. I mean, you think about it, it's like. I wonder if they're going to like preemptively make a rule like you can't throw another player in the air. Could you imagine that hit?
The fact that Mike Leach thought of that is just the most Mike Leach thing in the world. That
I was going to say, if any head coach was going to come up with that, it is Mike Leach.
And like, wasn't the story too that he had to be talked out of it? Like he was like going to do it and they had to like talk him out of it. He was like deterred.
That seems like a future 30 for 30 or if it had happened, like the boy who was thrown too much, like at first, like it worked multiple times, but then it was a debilitating injury and his spine got all messed up.
Oh, for sure. He would get hurt. That's the thing is like, I'm sure that's the person that finally was able to talk him over you're going to kill him. Like whoever you pick is going to die. So you can't do it. He's like, yeah, that's a good point. He probably would
die. Sterling Sharp neck injury just multiplied.
Yeah, it's got Peyton Manning's neck.
Peyton Manning's neck wasn't that bad. His wife is the one who needed the steroids, not him.
Okay, JerMichael Finley's neck.
There we go. Nick, okay, we don't have to keep talking about Packer necks. Last thing to talk about, you know, we got to talk about him every week because he's the best ever, and it was a mistake to move on from him. Aaron Rodgers. What do you guys think Rodgers is going to do next year? He was on Pat McAfee last week, didn't say much of anything, said he had some personal stuff going on, someone close to him, I assume is going through some health issues or something like that, so he said he can't make a decision right now. He said he's going to play, but he hasn't decided where. What do you guys think is going to happen with Rodgers?
I wanted to say retire, but it does kind of feel like he's just going to go be somewhere and eventually, like, I feel like he's going to be playing. I don't know. I don't know where. Pittsburgh doesn't feel, almost feels like he's going to go somewhere else, but I don't really know what his other options
Pittsburgh
are.
Pittsburgh feels right, but the receivers do not. Even though he worked out with DK, but they're not, like, he needs good route runners, and Pickens and DK aren't exactly that.
But, like, Tomlin makes sense. Yes. Like, I think that, like, Tomlin likes him. He likes Tomlin. So, like, that makes sense. But I'm also like, does Tomlin really like him? Like, it's really easy to like a player that's kind of like a diva like Rodgers when they're not on your team.
Right.
Like, right. When you don't have to sit in meeting rooms with Aaron, he's a lot more likable probably.
And Tomlin is also a defensive-minded head coach. And I don't know that that relationship would work out. But that being said... Pittsburgh was going to be my first choice because there's still a team that is challenging for the AFC North for that wild card, if not the division with Baltimore and Cincinnati, and they feel like they're a quarterback away. Like, do you like Mason Rudolph to take that team to the playoffs? Hell no. And with how weak the quarterback class is in the draft, they're not going to get a rookie that can take them there either. So it feels to me if Pittsburgh wants to compete this year, then Rodgers is basically their play at quarterback. Or they rip off the Band-Aid and say, we're going to trot out Mason Rudolph. We'll finish 5-12, and we'll see what we get in the draft next year.
What about New Orleans? Is that a possibility for Rodgers? Is Derek Carr the quarterback there, and he's hurt, right?
Yeah, he is, and they're saying his season might already be in question because of that shoulder injury. What a terrible... That franchise has been ran so poorly.
I mean, it would be a disaster if Rodgers went there, and I'm sure he doesn't want to go there, but like they might be the ones that would want him.
What do they have for cap space? Like, nothing. It just feels like every single year. Well,
what's Rodgers worth?
He did say on McAfee, and I'm sure once he signs with the team, it'll be more, but he did say he'll play for $10 million. So that seems pretty reasonable for him.
I guess I wasn't thinking it was that cheap, yeah. But
I think he is going to be, at some point, the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings next year, especially when he went on McAfee. And he said he can't make a decision right now. There's no benefit to him not making a decision if he was going to Pittsburgh, right? Because I'm sure whatever is going to happen or whatever he's going through, like he'd sign with Pittsburgh right now and it's fine. They could draft a quarterback in the first round. They could wait behind Aaron, whatever. But the fact that he's waiting and that the Vikings weren't able to sign Joe Flacco, there's no other vet quarterbacks out there worth a damn. He's going to wait. It's going to go into training camp, much like Brett Favre did back in the day. He's going to say, oh, I can't make a decision yet. I can't make a decision yet. J.J. McCarthy's going to be on the field. He's not going to look great. He's still going to be recovering slowly. They'll have a built-in excuse for he's recovering from that knee, yada, yada. And I think he's going to sign with the Vikings. That's my guess right now.
How do you feel about that?
I definitely wouldn't hate him. With Favre, it was just such a pretty clear he wanted to play for the Vikings to get back at the Packers. And with Rodgers, it's more of a situational thing where there really aren't a lot of options. Pittsburgh is fine, but we know how he is with an offense. And Arthur Smith is a run-first kind of guy. He doesn't strike me as a super intelligent fellow. And with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, and Aaron Jones being here, because I'm so close to the facility, he knows Kevin O'Connell. You know, they've been texting. Apparently, he's kind of buddies with him. He used to work out with him back in the day. It just makes sense to me, and I think maybe prolonging this makes it a little easier. One, for him to join the Vikings, but two, for it to be a little easier on JJ's fragile mentality when they eventually sign him. But that's what I think is going to happen.
I don't know. Don't you think that offensive line would scare Rodgers away?
Who, the Vikings?
Don't they have, like, didn't they lose two on that offensive line? One of them
They
hurt?
Lost the bad ones, and they signed the Colts' old center and the Colts' guard, who were two halfway decent players. So their offensive line should be good. Their tackle got hurt last year, but they have two good tackles. They signed a guard.
Their tackles were really good.
They signed the center, so I think they should be better next year. Plus, he's playing inside.
Okay.
You know.
Well, then it does make sense.
I was going to say, even still, like, when the report, whatever it was worth back in February, March, whatever it was, came out and said that the Vikings were no longer interested in Rodgers, I breathed a sigh of relief. Because if you put Rodgers into that offense with that head coach and those weapons, I think he could have a renaissance year, kind of like Favre had in 2009 with the Vikes, where he threw for 4,400 yards and be MVP candidate and whatever. So
he could also ruin Kevin O'Connell.
yeah. I mean, Spencer, as much as I disagree with some of your wild brain theories sometimes,
but I'm always
this
right.
One makes a lot of sense. And I hate that I agree with you on it. I guess the one thing would be is, how absolute dog shit would J.J. McCarthy have to look in this very same offense for them to call up Aaron Rodgers? Like, if I'm convinced that Rodgers would be an MVP candidate, what's J.J. McCarthy going to be just as a second-year player in the league and coming off an injury? Like, you would still expect him to be competent. We saw it with Sam Darnold last year. Like, he was getting MVP buzz for about 14 weeks last year before he fell off. So
yeah, it's, you know, at the same time, J.J. McCarthy didn't even get to practice all of last year because it was a preseason injury. But I don't know. It just makes sense. And again, because I went through the same thought process, Billy, where first I was like, oh, he's not going to sign with them. I also kind of want him to, because a rival of mine named Ed, he's like, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So if it did, if it did happen, I'd be like, oh my God, this is, he was wrong. And on top of it, the thing, so they wouldn't be good enough to win the Super Bowl, obviously. But if the Vikings won their first Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, that's not going to feel great for them, you know, because you had to use a Packer legend to finally get over the hump. And even like they can brag about it, it's like, you had Aaron, you had to go take our old quarterback, our leftovers. So I don't know. It's, if it happens, it would be very, very interesting, if nothing else.
Agreed.
Cool. Thank you. Billy. Yeah. You got something?
At what point do you think Rodgers signs? Like, is it June after OTAs? Is it August? Like, in the midst of training camp?
After training camp.
Is it August, like, after the first preseason game? Like, what's the end game here?
I think it'll be after mini camp.
Part of Rodgers' contract is going to be like, you send me the playbook. Yeah, right. I'm not showing up till week one.
Right, right. And that's the other thing, too, is maybe he does just wait and for someone to get hurt and he can sign with them. But it sounds like he's going to play football. But I really think... him, if he wanted to play for the Steelers, he would have signed with the Steelers. There's no other options
out
there.
No, that's a fair point.
Seems like to me.
If, and I think injury is another interesting wrkle to this. Like, if Brock Purdy, knock on wood, I'm not wishing anything on Brock Purdy. If he tears his Achilles tendon in the second week of training camp, don't you think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are calling up Aaron Rodgers?
Without a doubt. I mean, they tried. That's why the 2020 draft blew up is because they tried to trade for Aaron. Shanahan was texting Aaron.
That's why they're not friends anymore. Right. That's why LaFleur and Shanahan don't like each other.
They're not boys anymore.
Maybe that's a stretch, but they're not really like BFFs anymore.
No, they're not.
So maybe there's a wild card out there, an unknown team, you know, who the football gods have it out for. Their starting quarterback is going to get hurt on July 15th, and they have to make a call to Rodgers.
If Rodgers goes to Minnesota, there's just like, this is a simulation. This is not real. This is the dumbest thing ever. Like, nothing matters. I don't know. That's how I feel. It's just like, how does like that happen? That, 2 in a row?
2 years with the Jets and then going to the Vikings. Like, that yes. alone is just fucking nuts.
It's exactly the same.
With that... please leave a review. Give us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple, whichever. You can leave a review, email it to us, pmppodcast@gmail.com, or DM us on Twitter, pmppod. Say your review and we'll send you a koozie. Right?
No.
We will eventually. We've always eventually sent out koozies. It might take a little bit. I might forget. But you will eventually get a koozie.
If you bother us enough, we'll send you a koozie.
With that, I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else?
Draft. What was I going to say? I almost said Ha Clinton Dix. That's not what I meant. Draft Christian Watson 2.0, please. Okay.
Bold. Billy?
Okay. I'm just excited to see everybody's draft board fall apart after like pick 4 when... some ridiculous trade is made when, you know, the equivalent of the Falcons picking Michael Penix last year goes down and nobody expects it. And after that, it's just a free for all. That's my favorite part.
I'm curious to see how that goes. It probably won't be as exciting just because the quarterbacks aren't there, but nonetheless, it should be a fun evening of drafting football players. With that, former Green Bay Packer AJ Dillon, please take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah. Well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me. Hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey.
Hell yeah. 12. Jeez. Yep. They're the worst. Just old stuff that's been there for years.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.